If we are already going to talk about Pesach, of course we're going to try, and as people requested, to talk a little about how to make the Seder night exciting. So last year I understood that we talk about to take the cups and put and do a pyramid and thing, and I don't remember if I told you about Makat Choshech, but Makat Choshech, darkness. There is even a better idea. If I told you before, I'm going to tell it again. And we have a few days. Yes, please. Because we have... It's okay, no problem. No problem. It's Pesach. So, what we can do in Pesach, in order to make the children understand what is darkness about. So we take the Shabbos clock, and we take one off. In other words, in the middle of the Seder night, the light is going to turn off. Of course, you have to make sure that the balabait or the balabuste knows about it, because otherwise you will have more than 10 makot. So you have to be very careful with this. So after all, and of course only the balabuste, because otherwise there is no surprise and nothing. So what happens is, suddenly it's dark. And in this dark, what do? Before, you prepare yourself and you buy, and I think every shop has got it, like those things that shine in the dark, shines in the dark. Yeah. Make sure that through the day, of course in a room that nobody's there, you put a lot of light on it, so in this case it's going to really shine in the dark. And you buy small presents, it can be candies, it can be small things, and what you do is, beforehand, you put in the room those smiling in certain places, and underneath each one of them, there is a small present for the children. Now, suddenly it gets dark. What happened? You see, this was the plague of darkness in Egypt. But you know that there was an amazing thing. The Egyptian couldn't see anything, but the Jews could see everything, and they saw all the treasures of the Egyptian. Now, look around and see, maybe you also can see in the dark. And suddenly they see all those smiling, shining in the dark, and they go around, and each one of them takes one smiling and sees the present behind it, and then the light comes back, and everybody realizes what darkness is, what it's all about, and what's the idea about Am Israel seeing in the dark, and the Egyptian not seeing anything. So in this way, you do also another nice game that is going to stay. I know I did it, and till today, and it was years ago when my kids were a little smaller, and till today they remember this Seder night which I did it. So this is I think a very good idea to do. Don't need a lot of things to prepare, just buy a few smiling here in the supermarket or wherever, buy a few small things, make sure that somebody asked me, but I cannot just put it when I'm going to say the darkness plague. Doesn't have anything to do with it. It's just an idea that goes through the Seder night. Make sure you do it earlier and not later, because later, no dark, light or dark, they're going to sleep. So make sure you're doing it in the beginning and not at the end of the Seder night. If you tried the game with the pyramid last year, and I thought this was successful, so in a few words, I remind it to those who didn't do it, who can do it this year. You buy the disposable caps, like 200, 300, whatever, and you ask the children to build a pyramid. And then, while they build it, and you go to the kitchen, and by accident, you just
knock it over.
And when you come back, and they already started building again, you knock it over again. Okay, make sure you don't do it too much, because we want the children to be excited but not angry. So now you explain to them, you see, this was Avodat Parech. That's what the Egyptian enslaved us. They taught us to build pyramids, then they broke it, and they told us to build again. In other words, they gave us jobs with no purpose. And of course, there are a lot of other ideas, but another important thing, don't do too much. Even if it's a brilliant idea, there is a limit to what a kid can, not only a kid, also us. You know, when I was a kid, when I got married first, and we used to do the Seder night with the, my in-laws, and there was always a family that they did Aliyah with them to Israel, and they were very clever kids, and we used to do the Seder nights with them. And you know, the Seder was going on and on and on, and every one of those kids wanted to show how clever he is, and they did pilpulim and burning, and you know, it lost the taste. And we were so angry, we were angry and hungry. We wanted to eat. You know, it's Seder night, you know, didn't eat. And you know, it has to be, I saw, katzar velainyan, short and interesting. Not too short, of course, but the idea is very simple. It has to be an experience that that everybody is going to remember. So you cannot just drag it. You have to do it in a way. And by the way, if you look halachically, you cannot drag it. This is one of the mistakes that people don't realize. Yeah. You can drag it after you've finished everything. Then you can sit and talk to the morning. But the afikoman has to be eaten in a certain time. And you cannot go over this time. So anyway, it's limited. So be clever. Now, if the kids prepared a lot of things and everybody wants to show what he knows, no problem. We have 7 days. It doesn't have to be everything in one night. Second night, and you can give the kids in each one of the meals, you can say something nice. Now I want to talk about, after we talk about the kids, we're going to talk a little about the adults. One of the basic things of the Agada is V'igadeta levincha b'yom ahu le'emor. It's our duty to tell our children about the Agada. In other words, is to pass on the message. And to say the night, it's all about emuna. The arba'a banim dibra Torah. With the Agada tells us, there are 4 children, 4 kinds of children. Chacham, rasha, tam, ve'eno yedea lishol. Is the clever one, is the rasha, the evil one, there is the one, the innocent one, and this is the one who doesn't know how to ask. Well, what is the idea behind it? The idea behind it, it's not that we're talking about our 4 children. No. The idea is that when you're sitting on Seder night, that you have to approach everyone in a way that is going to gain something out of the Seder night. V'igadta lebincha b'yom ahu, each child has got his own talent, his own abilities, his own knowledge. And if you're going to talk with a child at the age of 3 the same way you talk to a child in university, you did a big mistake. So we have to know. Now, there are those who are innocent, there are those who, you know, they're shy, they don't ask. So you have to open. At ptachlo, you have to open and start, make him interested in the night. One of the puzzling thing is that we have the chacham and the rasha. Now, the chacham, if we look at what he's saying very similar to what the Rasha is saying. The Chacham is saying, what are all those laws that God ordered you to do? And the Rasha is saying, what is this job for you? And the Rasha says, give me in his teeth. You answer him like, or even don't answer him. And what did this say different from the Chacham? What did the Chacham say? What are those laws that God ordered you to do? And what did the Rasha say? What is all this job for you? It looks the same. And the Chacham, you answer him. There is a small difference. The Chacham says, Asher tziva Hashem Elokeinu. Our God ordered you to do. The Rasha says, what is the job? Like he takes his mouth out of the whole thing. But still, we're talking about the Chacham, clever. What is so clever about this question? What are the laws that God ordered you? Is this a clever question? If you are so, sorry to tell you, it looks like a very stupid question. If you are so clever, why didn't you learn the laws? Or what is this general question? Ma chukim va mitzvot achor? Is this a clever question? I don't know. But the Agada calls him Chacham. And the answer? So he is asking to know the laws that God ordered us. And we answer him, En maftirim achar ha-Pesach ha-Fikoman. You don't eat after Pesach ha-Fikoman. What's the connection between the answer and the question? So we have to understand what's going on here. What is the Chacham really asking? The Chacham is saying a very interesting thing. Very clever. He says, I understand that I am a young kid, that I have to sit here and learn about Yitziat Mitzrayim. But you, that through the whole year, you mention Yetziat Mitzrayim every day, a few times a day, and you do it for years. What is different from this night, from other nights, that you have to sit here with me and talk about Yetziat Mitzrayim? So, what is the idea? Tziva. What is Tziva? Tziva connects us with the Parashat Shavua before. We says Tzav. Tzav is to order. And says Rashi in the Makom, Lezarez achshav veledorot. You have, in this mitzvah, you have to make sure that it's being done quickly, or let's say itlavut, with enthusiasm, and not only now, for generations. So everybody asks, do I have to tell Aaron to do the mitzvah properly? Aaron HaKohen? To bring a sacrifice properly? Well, doesn't he know it? Doesn't he do it? But the thing is very simple. We're talking about a very interesting sacrifice. This sacrifice is called Korban HaTamid. Korban HaTamid. The Korban of always. What does it mean? This Korban is the Korban that opens work in Bet HaMikdash. That's the first Korban, and it's the last Korban. You cannot sacrifice any other sacrifice before this Korban starts the day, and you cannot, and not allowed, to bring any other sacrifice after this Korban finished the day. In other words, this Korban starts every day and finishes every day. Now imagine to yourself, every day, by the way, also on Yom Kippur, also on Rosh Hashanah, this Korban HaTamid is being done. Imagine to yourself, today we say Tfilot keneged korbanot, that the prayers are against the sacrifices. Now if we pray every day, three times a day, what happens to us when we go on and on and on? It's a routine. And sometimes we even start mumble, blah 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 blah. We don't even know what we say. The same thing is with Korban HaTamid. You bring it every day, twice a day, so you get used to it. And when you get used to it, you do it just what we call mitzvat anashim melumada. You do it as a routine and with no intention, no fire, no itlavut, nothing. Is this a way to do a mitzvah? Of course not. The same thing is with Yetziat Mitzrayim. Yes, every day we remind ourselves about Yetziat Mitzrayim. But do we really think about it? Or we just mumble it? And this is exactly why the Torah is telling us that in things like this, even Aaron HaKohen has to be reminded that he has to do it like he's doing it with fire in him. Like the first time, the second time. Not like routine. And that's the prayers we do. And that's every mitzvah that we do every day. You see, the intention behind the mitzvah is the most important thing. And by the way, the Korban, Korban HaTamid, this sacrifice, you know on what you bring it? On bad thoughts. Not on deeds. And this sacrifice is the most important sacrifice because it's the only one that goes up to God completely. Kodesh Kodashim. When you sin, there is a part that the Kohen eats. Here nobody eats anything. Only for God. So in other words, it looks like, and that's the fact, that thoughts or bad thoughts are more important than bad deeds. Doesn't sound logical.
Logical because nobody can see your thoughts.
And thoughts, bad thoughts, lead you to bad deeds. Sof ma'aseh b'machashava tchila. What you're doing, you first of all think about it. So if I take the thought and from the beginning take it out, I'm not going to do anything wrong. If I think good, tachshov tov, yeah tov. Exactly. And that's exactly the idea. If you pray, if you do a mitzvah and your heart is not in it, what do? Nothing. So to remind ourselves every day, a few times a day, that we went out of Egypt, very nice. So what? Is your heart in it? Do you think about it? And this is exactly what the Chacham is asking. He doesn't understand why you need to have a special night for a thing that you do the whole day, the whole year round. But the answer is even more clever. The answer is, En maftirim achar ha-pesach ha-fikoman. What does it mean? You're not allowed to eat after the Korban ha-pesach ha-fikoman. What is the ha-fikoman?
Dessert. The That's the last piece of
the dessert. That's Aramic word for dessert. So when we call the matzah afikoman, it doesn't mean that the afikoman is the matzah. It means that the matzah is the afikoman. In other words, the dessert today is the afikoman. Or, in other words, there is no dessert. Why there is no dessert? What's the idea behind it? What did we say? Because we are getting used to reminding again and again and again and again, Yitzhak Mitzrayim, now we need a special night to light a fire. What do we do with this fire? Well, do we turn it off and go to sleep? Eat some nice dessert? And forget about it? No. The Torah says, you go to sleep that night with no dessert. You have to have the taste of Korban Pesach. Or in our case, the taste of the Afikoman. So this way you understand what is this all night about. This all night about is to increase your belief. All the things you saw through the years, and you think that people are doing things. Nobody is doing anything. There is only one who does everything, and that's God. God sits behind everything. And God is the one who makes everything move. And that's the night. And that's why we see now suddenly, wow, it's an unbelievable question and an unbelievable answer. And if we talk about believing in God and the idea of Pesach, I've been last week in China. And one of the interesting things that happened to me, unbelievable. I'm going to this exhibition and it's 4 days. And on the thing I see, I'm walking 17 kilometers every day.
17?
17. It's a huge exhibition.
Oh.
You go and go and go and go and go. And believe me, after 4 days, I didn't even finish everything. It's like a whole town of furniture. Now, when people come to a place like this, they prepare themselves, they put a lot of money, they take an hotel, but normally they will take an hotel near the exhibition so they can be the first to be there in order to use all the time. But my calculation and a few other Jews is different. We look where is Bet Chabad, where we can eat and daven properly. And in this case, Bet Chabad was a little far from the exhibition, but I didn't care. For me, it's more important because who gives me the parnosa? There's people don't. Sometimes I look at people and say, "Do you understand what you're doing?" Like they are believers. Wow, I have to. I cannot tell a loser. And there's a said mamon. There are a lot of excuses. And by the way, some of them are also being authorized by the rabbis. No problem with it. But if somebody really believes, do you think another hour in the exhibition is going to give you the parnosa? Or maybe another hour in shul will give you the parnosa. So my calculation is, I don't care if I'm coming late. First thing I do is I pray to the one who gives me the parnosa. Then I go to the exhibition. Now we're going for 4 days in this exhibition. At the last day of the exhibition, we came late, of course, because we davened. And before we go in, we see this strange lady, Chinese lady, looks like, I'm not going to say a beggar, but doesn't look like very from the high society of China. And you know, my son is very friendly. Hello, Vezen, you start talking. And she says, where are you from? And then she says, I own a few factories. You know, I look at this lady and says, you own a few factories? What do you want to talk about? And we have also a booth here in the exhibition. Says, oh, very nice. It says, you know what? Maybe tomorrow I'll send somebody for you to take you from the hotel to my factory, which is the next town, which is around an hour drive. And we're thinking to ourselves, what is this? What's going on here? I said, you know what? We'll give you an answer through the day. She took her phone and we're walking in the exhibition. And she is phoning us every half an hour. So I said, then we were looking for very special two chairs. One of somebody wants to order here, a big order. And we didn't find it in what we exactly wanted. Didn't find it. Says, you know what? What have you got to lose? Told, you know what? 11 o'clock tomorrow, come and pick us up from the hotel. But you have to understand, we have to go to the airport. So you take us from the hotel and you take us to the airport later on the day. So it's no problem. The next day, she comes with the driver. She sees all our suitcases. No, I cannot take them. So, okay, we organize things. We put the suitcases in. We says we don't leave the suitcases in the hotel. Don't come back. We go from your factory to the airport. And we drive And I'm not going to tell the whole story, it's a long story, but the unbelievable thing is that, first of all, we got to a town which is a town of furniture. The whole town is furniture. In other words, when I talk about a town, I'm talking about a town in China, which is big, and a furniture shop, a furniture factory, one after another. She takes us to a factory, and she's got not only one factory, she's got around three factories, a family business. And you say, and she is going to, Bezrat Hashem, make us those two chairs that we need. So I'm asking you, is this not Hashgacha Pratit? Is this not God looking after you? Habotech b'Hashem Chesed Yehovenu. We went to the exhibition for miles on miles on miles and didn't find what we want. Where do we find it? Outside the exhibition. Because we came late, because we wanted to daven in a minyan. So is this not God doing?
Yeah.
Who is giving the parnoso? Now, a story like this is a story, and I believe that each one of us has a personal story about Hashgacha. This is something we have to share. Because when we show the kids and the family that there is Hashgacha, that's the idea of Lel HaSeder, that's Seder night. So each one of us takes his own personal story and tells it at that night. It can be his story, it can be a miracle that happened in the family, it can be a lot of things. Make the Seder night interesting. And the main thing is, don't come to the Seder night and open the Haggadah the first time. This is, a lot of people do it. I remember for last year, I just open it, everything is written. Here you pick up the glass, here you drink, here you show the matzahs. Is this a way to do a Seder night?
No.
Prepare yourself. And you know, prepare yourself is going to make the Seder night look whole different. It's going to be an experience. I want to end this shiur. Years ago, when I did all those games, this game with the darkness, we had one of the best Seder nights we had in our life. And we did it, not here in Israel, in Antwerp in Belgium, when my father-in-law and my mother-in-law stayed for a few years because my sister-in-law lives there. And they did Seder night with her, and they want help, but whatever, doesn't matter. So we came there, and we did Seder night there. And this was the last Seder night of my father-in-law. Because at that Pesach, he died suddenly, waking up in the morning, he's got the pain, and that was it, in the middle of Pesach. But the night before, the whole family had the best Seder night ever. And when I look at it today, I'm saying, this is also good God doing. God said, you are going to go, but before you go, you will have your best Seder night. You will have a Seder night that is going to be remembered for years. And I think that if each one of us will put this little spice into the Seder night, it would all look different. Pesach kasher v'sameach.